I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
A World Series, the Davids and the Goliaths, the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Dodgers, an epic Game 4, an exciting Game 5, and now Tampa, can they come back from this to talk about it? We bring in Mark Topkin from the Tampa Bay Tribune to talk about the game from the World Series in Texas. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm good, Laurie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's start off with how does this game in any way, from your perspective, does it start to change how we talk about Clayton Kershaw and his legacy in terms of the postseason?
It should. I mean, two wins in the World Series. He set the postseason strikeout record today, passing Verlander. He moves up a notch on the all-time wins list. I think he's, what, five behind Pettit now, maybe. And, he certainly has had the chance to and take advantage of correcting the narrative here. Now, you know, he's kind of playing from behind with his overall record, and that's going to be an ongoing story. And it's one of those things, I think, where to be fair to him, when he pitches poorly, everyone seizes upon that. When he pitches well, it's like, okay, he won this game. So,
right. You
know, his position and legacy in the game should be secure either way. But I do think, to answer your original question, yes, he definitely helped the postseason portion of his legacy with his work against the Rays, both in Game 1 and tonight.
The Rays have been a fantastic story this whole, short season that we've had and all throughout the postseason. And we know that Kevin Cash goes to that bullpen. What did you think in terms of Glasnow tonight and Cash's usage, of him, keeping him in for the five innings, giving up the four runs? Anything about that usage surprise you?
No, not really. I mean, he definitely, he was going to get, he gave up, two runs in the, he gave up three runs in the first two innings, right? So, he was going to have to go at least four or five innings for them to be able to be ready, even with the day off. I mean, he couldn't blow the bullpen out. So I don't think Glasnow was going to be on that short of a leash where he was going to come out in the first or second inning. And then he got a little bit figured out, and then he gave up the other solo homer in the fifth. So, I think it was more impressive that he got his pitch count back in order to be able to get, to that 100 pitch limit and get through five innings. Realistically, it's his last start of the year. I guess he conceivably could pitch in relief in Game 7. We saw him do that on short rest against the Yankees. But, I think the 34 pitches in the first inning kind of set a really bad tone for Tyler Glasnow, and he was playing or pitching from behind the rest of the day from that point on out. And they needed better from him, quite frankly. I mean, he's made, in his four postseason starts, he's allowed four runs or more in each one. I don't think that's ever been done before in baseball history. So it kind of speaks to the ineffectiveness he had. And I know he's asked about it after the game tonight, and he said something like, it hasn't really been the best month for me. And that was definitely an understatement.
Yeah. Talking to Mark Topkin from the Tampa Bay Times about the Rays, and were you surprised at all that Manuel Margot tried to steal home during the game, which was certainly a very entertaining play? It was fun. Take us through that decision and thought process there and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I definitely was surprised. He did go on his own. It was not a call play at all. It wasn't even something from what we could tell, and obviously limited to the Zoom calls and not the ability to work the clubhouse and talk to a lot of people. But it wasn't something that was discussed in a pregame meeting, like, hey, let's do this if we get the chance or something. It was a pretty much an individual decision by Margot, a guy who's played in the National League, has played against Kershaw a lot. He's been on the Padres for the last, 3 years, so had some experience, but, said he had never tried it either. I think Kevin Cash was very diplomatic and protective of his players, as he always is. But knowing him well enough to read between the lines of his answer to the questions about it, was, I think it surprised him too, which is probably not a good thing to surprise your manager in that situation. And, I mean, they already screwed that inning up. I mean, that inning started, they got a little bit of a break when the Dodgers screwed up the throw to second on the steal attempt. Yep. So they had a man on third, no outs, right? That first and third, no outs. And then a pop out and a strikeout. And then Margot, at that point, maybe he figured, heck, we're not going to score a run the way we're going anyway and give it a try. But, that was probably the flex point of the game right there. I mean, they had cut the lead to 3-2. Mm-hmm. They had, like I said, they had two guys on with no outs. They've got to get at least one, if not both of those guys in and tie that game up or take the lead right there, and they got nothing out of it.
Yeah. So just turning for from tonight's game to just the big picture of what we've been seeing in the postseason with the Rays, how do you explain the phenomenon that is Randy Arozarena?
That's been so crazy of a story because they got him in trade in January, and he wasn't the marquee guy in the trade. Mm-hmm. They gave up a really good pitching prospect, which they typically don't do. They hoard good young pitching prospects, so that was a surprise. And then you're around the team and you start hearing from a couple people who are like, hey, I know Jose Martinez is the main guy, but this other kid we're getting is really the reason we made the deal. And okay, cool. Sounds good. You hear
but
that a lot.
Teams always say that.
Right. So then we would go to regular spring training, and, it obviously only gets, have to have it through the exhibition season. But he was the best player in spring training. He was the Rays' best player in spring training. But the reality was he wasn't going to make the team anyway. I mean, they had traded for Margot and Renfro. They had Kiermaier, Austin Meadows, who was their co-MVP last mm-hmm. year. They signed Yoshitsugo out of Japan for $12, $13 million plus a posting fee, which for them is a lot of money. So, Arozarena wasn't going to make the team, even though he was their best player in spring training. Then he comes back from the shutdown and tests positive for COVID. They can't get him negative. He ends up spending a month in an apartment quarantined. So, I mean, I didn't think we'd see this guy at all this year. And he goes down to their alternate campsite about the first week of the season, right, by July 28th, 29th, he goes down there and starts working out. And they said he needed a couple weeks just to get back in shape because he'd been, feeding. Taught himself how to cook chicken and rice and ate that every day during his quarantine. He said he did 300 push-ups. And then, they said that about the third week of August, the guys who were running the camp in Port Charlotte called up to the big league staff and said, you might want to start thinking about this guy. He's ready. So they ironically trade Jose Martinez to the Cubs to create a roster spot, and they bring him up, and he plays that last week, August, first week of September, and you're like, okay, I guess he's actually pretty good, a little stronger, a little faster. And then, oh my gosh, there is no way to explain it. I mean, 9 home runs in the postseason, broke that record, 27 hits, broke that record, 5 three-hit games, broke that record, total bases, broke that record. He's one shy on extra base hits and 3 shy on runs. So with a good game on Tuesday, he conceivably could have both of those records too. And here's the best part. He'll be eligible for the Rookie of the Year award next year still. So he won ALCS MVP. I mean, it would be unlikely now, but let's just say hypothetically, he could win World Series MVP and then next year be a contender for Rookie of the Year.
That would be very 2020.
Right?
Is a player who's hasn't even lost his rookie eligibility for that to happen. So how, we watch it, and obviously we watch it closely here in New York with the Yankees playing the Rays. We see the Rays about 19 times a year, and, then there's postseason and all of that. So we're pretty familiar with the Rays and what they do. But what makes Kevin Cash so good at what he does that a team that, in a year of 2020, we look at a Dodger payroll, and yes, even if we factor in because of COVID and 60 games, almost $108 million payroll for the Dodgers, and they're the Rays with a $28 million payroll. I mean, the discrepancy is insane. How do they, you know, what is the magic of Kevin Cash and how he uses his team?
Well, I think there's kind of probably two sides to the answer there. One is on the less tangible side is that they do a great job, and this started before Kevin Cash got there, in all fairness. And this, you know, this goes back to Joe Maddon. This goes back to Andrew Friedman, who was the general manager and is now running the Dodgers, ironically. It goes back to Stu Sternberg, the owner of the team, who's up from your way. You know, they created a culture when they took over to where, you know, the players were all welcome. It was a very positive environment. Everybody rooted for them. It was, what can we do to help you? What can we do to make you better? They acquire players from other teams. They're like, here's what we think you do well. We're going to help you do that even better. Not, okay, you stink at this, so we got to figure this out or you're never going to make it, kid. You know, very positive, upbeat environment. I think Kevin Cash has taken that, and he has the buy-in of all of his players, which is what allows him to do some of these kind of crazy moves and, you know, platooning guys and bringing relievers in the fourth or fifth inning when they're not going to get a save, and yet they're going to face the toughest, you know, highest leverage situation, but get nothing statistically to reward for it. And pinch hit for guys. He's pinch hit for almost everybody in that lineup, I think. And, you know, he creates this environment where they're all in it to win and they're all in it for each other. And there's not a lot of, you know, you get the occasional oddball and the occasional bad apple, but they're not in it, you know, looking out for themselves. They're in it looking out for each other. The other side of it is he is strategically fearless. I mean, he will make some of these moves. I mean, taking Snell out of the game against the Astros and coming back the next night and taking Morton out of the game against the Astros with a shutout into the sixth inning and only at 60-something pitches. I mean, Kevin Cash makes some moves that I just, you know, like I said, I don't want to get your FCC license in trouble here to say what he has, but he is not scared of making decisions that others would just not make, because it's easier to make a decision you don't want to be second guessed about than make what you think is the right decision. And he has no such fear.
So now you mentioned Blake Snell. All right. We turn, you know, the Rays are down. Snell in there. Is there a guy on the, I know Charlie Morton, you know, and his certainly postseason record, and Glasnow during the regular season, all of this. Is there a guy that the Rays would rather have on the mound in this situation, elimination facing it, than Snell?
I mean, I guess if you could totally pick and have everybody have enough rest, you'd probably rather have Charlie Morton. But on the other hand, you need Charlie Morton to pitch game 7 if you win game 6. So it's kind of a wash. I mean, if you could have Morton in 6, you'd have to turn around and trust Snell in 7 anyway. So I don't think the trust factor is quite as high with Blake Snell as it would be with Morton, although Morton didn't have a good game the other night. Snell looked really good in his World Series start. So I think that's what they're banking on, is that he channeled the same Blake Snell from the other night, which was just dominant stuff. And you know, he has not gotten through the sixth inning in any game since he had his elbow surgery in July of 2019. And it seems like it started to create a mental hurdle now too, but I think they'd be very happy even just to get 4 or 5 really good innings for him tomorrow if they can catch a lead. And that's been part of this too. I mean, the starting pitching hasn't been as good as usual, but the offense has given the starting pitchers no room to operate in.
Yeah. All right, I could talk to you for a lot longer, but I know it's almost 3 o'clock in the morning, and I really appreciate you hopping on. And certainly, I'll be pulling for the Rays. I hope the underdog story can continue. Mark, really, really appreciate the time. Mark Topkin from the Tampa Bay Times. Have a good night.
You got it. Anytime. Take care.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.